We were starting here from the top of Kaf Chet Amud Aleph, 12 lines down. Yesterday we finished off the sugya with the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with regards to Shafir Shetarfua B'meimav. What's the status of such a Shafir as well as Meich and Nidbal Bala Tzurato? We saw the machlok between them. The Gemara in the end searched for the source of Rabbi Yochanan's position. And the Gemara says that he is like Rabbi Eliezer. The problem with that is that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer, so why would Rabbi Yochanan choose a dad yachid of Rabbi Eliezer? So Tosafot says he thinks that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are based on the Rabbanan, and that the machloket between them is how to explain the position of Rabbi Yitzchak. And that's what, when we say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it's like Rabbi Eliezer, is Rabbi Yitzchak's position that we saw yesterday, Meit Shenisraf, Bishul Do Kayemet Tamei, is that based on the position of Rabbi Eliezer, or is that based on the position of the Chachamim? But they both, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan, are arguing within the position of the Chachamim. And we saw the different ways to interpret the Mishnah based on the position of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now we move on to another sugya, which is Tan Rabbanan. Hamapelet Yad Chatucha Veregel Chatucha Imot Mea Leida. There's a discharge from the woman of an arm or in a leg. Then she is Tmea Leida, because we assume that the rest of the Vlad is somehow in there or has been discharged. Ve'ein Choshishin Shemem Migufa Tumbo. We've seen this twice before. In the Masechta, we don't assume that this came from some shapeless form and there was just an arm, there was just a leg. We assume that the remainder of the Vlad was intact. Rav Chisda v'Rabba bar Ravuna de Amrei Tavayu ein notnim la yemei tohar. When we say that, we assume it's a leida, it's a leida l'chumra, which means that she gets the yemei tumah, but she does not get the yemei tohar. My time, huh? Ema hirchika leidata. They say, well, maybe you're right. There was a leida over here. The arm of the leg in itself is not a leida, because you would need the rove of the Vlad to exit in order to be classified as a Leida. We're suggesting, or what we're suspicious of, is that if the leg or the arm came out, that means that the Vlad also was discharged at some point in time. The point of Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Huna is, how do you know how long ago that happened? We don't know how long ago the remainder of the fetus was discharged. And there's a possibility that it happened a long, long time ago. And we make her a tamei tumat leida, it might have been that she's already past the period of time that would have been classified as her yimei leida. She might be on the 41st day after the rest of the vlad was discharged, and that means that she doesn't have any yimei tohar anymore. She doesn't have anything. So that's why we give her yimei tumah, we don't give her any yimei tohar. Meiti Rav Yosef. Hamapelet ben yadua mahi pila. Woman, it's a Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's daf, who has a miscarriage. She doesn't know what she discharged. She has to worry about whether it's a zachar or nekeva. If we say in all these cases that we suspect that there's a possibility that the leida really took place much earlier, so there should have been a third possibility, which is when she discharges now, it's either a zachar or a nekeva, or a possibility that she was already discharged the majority of the vlad a long time ago. And whatever's coming out now is really a riyat nida and not a riyat leida. That means that there are really three possibilities of what the outcome is. Not only two possibilities, but only zachar or nekeva. Amar Abaye, itana l'nida. If we put nida in the mix, hava mina me via karban ve'enu ne'achal, then we would have thought that she brings a korban, it's not eaten. Mashmalan de ne'achal. She did have a leida. Our question here is not whether she had a leida or not. She definitely had a leida. Our question is, how long ago was that leida? Or what was the nature of that leida? Because we don't know what day she's on. So when we say she's tamei tumat nida, in your mind, if you just had those three possibilities, zachar ne'keva nida, you would have thought, well, two possibilities, either it's a vlad or not a vlad. If it is a vlad, it could be a zachar, it could be a nekeva. But the possibility that it wasn't a vlad, that's what leads us down the path of nida. And that's why you would have thought in the mix there was nida. You come along here, we didn't want to say that because that's not true. We know that she had a leida of some sort. We know whatever she discharged was a leida. The only question at hand is it's zachar or nekeva. Plus, we just don't know when it happened. The safek nida here is not because she didn't have a vlad. So the nida is because we don't know when she had that vlad. We don't know when she had that leida. And so because of that, we don't want to put nida in the mission. Eino chanami. There is an issue of tumat nida. There is a safek of nida. But in this case, if we mentioned it, it would have thrown us off. it made us think that this woman has a possibility that it's not classified as a vlad. That's not the case. It's the next case in the Mishnah. This case is a case where she knows it's a vlad, we're just not sure exactly when the vlad was discharged or when she really started to count her yimei leida. It's like the case here of Yad Chatucha and Regel Chatucha. She sees a limb of a fetus, but the remainder of the fetus she never sees. But we know it had to be discharged at some point in time. Here we have some evidence of a fetus, but we don't know where the remainder of this fetus is. So it had to be discharged at some point in time. And the assumption being that it's a quote-unquote viable fetus, it would have been a viable fetus, and therefore she is having a Leida. We just don't know when it is. But she knows for certain she has a Leida here because of the nature of what's come out so far. She just doesn't know when the rove of this Leida took place. Amar Rav Huna, Otzi Ubar et Yodo ve'echzira, and Ubar sticks out its hand and then pulls it back in. Tmea Leida. She has a din of Tmat Leida, Shneamar. Vahi Bilidita Vayitain Yad. This is by Tamar, giving birth to parrots in Zarach. It says that Zarach stuck his hand out. He put his hand out, and then the midwife tied the string on his hand when he had stuck it out. So Meiti Rav Yehuda, Hotzi Ubar et Yodo, Ein Imo Choshesh L'chol Davar. Sticks out his hand, the mother doesn't have to worry about anything. So Amar Rav Nachman, the Dima Pashalei Minei de Rav Huna. I was told or explained this position of Rav Huna, which is L'chosh Choshesh. Choshesh, but Yimei Tohar lo Yevin Amah. She has Yimei Tumah, but not Yimei Tohar. Ad Enafi Grubei, until the robe comes out. There's your answer. This arm coming out is a chosheshet leida, but it's not something that makes her into a real leida until the robe of the fetus exits. Vaha! The brayta that we brought said, ein imo chosheshet lechol davar. So I mean, that's pretty straightforward, which is, sounds like there's nothing here whatsoever. So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, eino chosheshet lechol davar midoraita. Min haTorah, nothing happened over here. Min haTorah, this is Ephes. Aval midrabanan. From midrabanan, we are chosheshet. Vakra kamar. Didn't they quote a pasuk? Makes it sound like it's a din doraita. Midrabanan, vakra besmachta bialma. It's a din derabanan. They just bring the pasuk as an asmachta. And most of the Rishonim there, if you look in the Ramban there, or Chaim also, when they discuss this, they say that the midwife was wrong. When the Zarach stuck his arm out, she tied the string around the arm and said that he is the Bechor. They said that he was not the Bechor, and the Anperetz was the Bechor, and that was her mistake. So therefore, Vayitan Yad, she classified it as a birth. But that doesn't mean that the Torah recognizes that as a birth. And therefore, it's just an Asmachta, it's an Asmachta that Yad coming out. Torah mentions it being something like a Leida, but Mina Torah, Midoraita, that is not a Leida, and that child was not a Bechor. Mishnah, Hamapelet Tumtum Vandrobinus Teshev Lezachar Ulinikeva. Woman who miscarries, discharges something that is a Tumtum or an Androgynous, then we have a Safek Zachar, Safek Nikeva, and therefore she'll have to keep both of them, which means she'll set 14 days of Tumah, 26 days of Tarah to take the Chumrot to both the Zachar and Nikeva. Tumtum Vizachar, Androgynous Vizachar. She gives birth to both twins, a tumtum and a male, and a androgynous and a male, to shave the zachar and the keva. The male is obviously a zachar, and the keva, we're choshesh, the tumtum and androgynous are in the keva. Tumtum vine keva, when it comes to a tumtum and in a keva, androgynous vine keva, to shave the keva go vaad, because even if the tumtum and androgynous are zachar, zachar is subsumed under the days of a keva. It has less days of tumah, less days of tohar. So in the end, you end up with the same thing. If you do a nekeva, 14 days of tumah, you get the 66 days of tara, no matter what. Yatzach mitchutach, the baby comes out in limbs, o misuras, or in breach, meishietze rubo areuki yolod, then the rove has to exit in order for it to be considered a leida. Yatzach yidarko, if it comes out in a normal manner, acheyetze rove rosho. The majority of the rosh has to exit. Vezu rov rosho. What's the majority of the head? Mishatzah padachto. Once the forehead has exited, that's considered to be a leida. So it's an important distinction that leida is governed by the exit of the rov rosh. That's in a normal birth. In any other case where it's not a viable entity, and the definition of viable entity over here does not mean that it has to be a live birth. It could even be a stillborn, as long as that nepha would have been viable, that the Gemara says in Bechorot, that type of nepha is considered to be a birth, and the head will determine or govern in terms of the birth being once the Rov HaRosh exits. But if you have something like a sandal, or you have like this, Yatzah Mechutach, then it's all governed by Rov. That the Rov of Vlad has to exit the woman in order to be classified as a Leida, because the Rosh is no longer Chashuv. Because you're talking something, Shein Bo Chiyuto, you're talking about something that doesn't have life or is not viable, therefore, the Rosh is no longer significant. There are two ways to achieve Chashivut. One is the head, and the other one is the Rov of the body. It's not a question of viability. So now the Gemara says, "Tum tum lechude v'anjuginus lechude amar teishev zecharne keba." When he just had, the woman just had a tumtum or just had a juginus, we say that we're choshesh that it's a zechar nekeva. Tumtum v'zachar, anjuginus v'zachar, mi boy. Why do you have to bring me the case in the Mishnah of a tumtum and anjuginus with a zachar? It should be no different than the case of just a tumtum and anjuginus alone. It's trich, we need it. Ma dutema, this is the same havamina that we had back on Friday's daf. Ho, v'amr v'itzvak, isha mazre techila, you let it zachar. If the woman ovulates first, then it's a male. Ish mazriya techila, if the man seed is placed in first, then it's you let in the keva. Ema midahai zachar, hainami zachar. Maybe we should assume, since this is the specifications of how you have a male and a female, if you have twins here, then the twins were the product of one of those two options, and therefore the other viable, the other child or the other fetus is a zachar, then obviously this tumtum and anjuginus should also be a zachar. Kamash v'lan, that that's not the case. Ema shneim yizru bevat achad, that happens simultaneously. Zu zachar v'zu nekeva. So therefore, the one of them that we know is a zachar, the other one, the anjuginus tumtum, could be a nekeva, and therefore you can't make any assumptions by twins. Just because we know the gender of one of them does not mean that we automatically know the gender of the other. All right, now Amar Rav Nachman Arav. Tumtum v'anjuginus shrou doven o odem, that saw a white discharge or a red discharge, ein chayavim obiyat mikdash ben sorfim aleim et ha-truma. The assumption being here, and this is something that we have to just go back, take a step back and understand, anjuginus and a tumtum. Anjuginus is a person that has both organs, male and female organs, and we're uncertain as to whether they are a male or a female. Tumtum is someone that does not display any organs, sexual organs. Again, we're uncertain as to whether they are male or female. What's the difference then? They're both in the same safek, which is either there's zachar or nekeva. So Tosafot over here explains that the safek of tumtum is very different than the safek of anjuginus. And that is because by tumtum, it's something that the Gemara says in other places you can tear open and maybe be able to determine that there was a sexual organ that's inside, make a determination about a male or a female. But that safek exists for every tumtum. Every tumtum is, it's a fake zachar nekeva, and each one of them could be something different. One of them could be a zachar, one could be a nekeva. That safek exists individually with every tumtum. A droginus, on the other hand, who has both organs, that's what it says, there the safek is about the class as a whole. But that safek, that's what it says here, the Gemara is not following that opinion that Shaul just mentioned, which androgynous is a biria bifnei atzma, it's its own entity, but rather it's following the opinion that it's a safek here, a safek zachar, safek neva. But the safek zachar, safek neva over here is a class safek. That means we're not sure as to whether all people that are androgynous are males or females. But if we're able to classify it, it would be for all of them. The classification is not a safek in each individual, rather a global safek in androgynous. So the difference between them is very important, that by a tumtum, every individual is a safek zachar nekeva, independent. It's an independent decision about each one. Androgynous is a class decision about zachar nekeva, and nafka mina will be like by mitzvot, for instance, by shofar. An androgynous who blows a shofar can be motzi another androgynous, because no matter what, they're in the same classification. So either they're both zacharim or both nekevot. That will not be true of a tumtum. Tumtum could have that one of them is a nekeva, one is a zachar, may not work. So there's that nafkamino in terms of that safek. But it's important to distinguish in the safekot of what androgynous and a tumtum is. There is that other opinion, like Shaul said, that an androgynous is a bria b'fnei atzma, it's its own entity. It has no classification whatsoever, not a gender classification of zachar nekeva, but it's independent classification. So Tosafot over here says our Gemara is following the opinion that we're talking about a safek zachar and safek nekeva over here. So now, what happens if an androgynous or a tumtum, they had a sighting of white and a sighting of red? These are indications of tuma by a male and by a female. By a female, odem would be an indication of tuma. If a woman discharges blood, then she's a nida. A man who discharges white, a simino omission, is also tame. If someone is tamei and enters into the mikdash, they're chayav karet. If they do it be shogeg, they're chayav a karban olev v'yoreid. Now, ro'u loven ve'odem ke'achad, if they simultaneously see red and white, ein chayavin al-biyad mikdash, they're still not chayav and b'mikdash, aval sofim alem et t'chumah. There they are vaday tmeim, when it comes to the truma, and they'll be tamei the truma. So in the first case, where they had either white or a red sighting, they had one or the other. Over there, we cannot make a determination because we don't know if they're a male or a female. We can't make a determination, then all the tumah that's here is tumah mis safek. So tumah mis safek, we can't make you chayav abim mikdash, and we can't be soreif the tumah on it. In the second instance, where they saw both red and white, where now we know, look, Rimanoshach, either they're a male or a female, and they've had a sighting that would make them Tamei, no matter which one they are, in that case, they're Vadai Tameim. So therefore, by Truma, Sorfim. The question that's left is, why by Biyat Mikdash, they're not Chayavim? And that the Gemara says, Shneamar, Mizachar ad Nekeva. It says in Bamidbar Hay, in the Parsha about the Tmeim that have to be sent out of the Machaneh, over there it says, Mizachar ad Nekeva, Tishalechu, that you have to send them out. Mizachar ad Nekeva, Zachar Vadai, Nekeva Vadait. That those have to be sent out of the Machaneh when there are Tmeim. That's talking about someone who is clearly classified as a Zachar, someone who is clearly classified as a Nekeva. Velo Tumtum ve Androginus. But not a tumtum or an adrivanus, because they don't have a defined classification of zachar or nekeva. Now, what's interesting about this, and this is what Tosafot raises, a part of the problem is, if we believe that a tumtum or an adrivanus is really a safek nekeva, a safek zachar, here is a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Zachar vadai, nekeva vadait is chayavin. But we know, and the Gemara asks this in other places where this sugya arises, ain't a fake kamei shmaya. The Torah doesn't have it. The safek is our issue. It's not the Torah's issue. The Torah knows that this is either a zachar or nekeva. I mean, kamei shmaya, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is either a zachar or nekeva. How could the Torah write a pasuk to exclude a safek? That makes no sense. The Gemara asks that in other places, that you don't need a pasuk to exclude a safek, and therefore, it must be that it's a birya bifnei atzma to exclude it. So the answer that Tosfot gives, it's a very interesting answer. Tosfot says, V'hocha dichtiv misar charbe nekeva yikala meymar, dimema'et la mitam shu mishuneh. V'havi safek mishum to yadana yizachar memayit lei, v'havi zachar, o minikeva memayit lei, v'havi nekeva. So Tosfot says over here that the fact that it says mizachar nekeva, the exclusion is not because we need a vadai zachar, vadai nekeva, and this one isn't one of those two. Maybe they are one of these two. And Tosfot doesn't want to go to the place that it's a birya b'fnei atzma, because he spent a lot of time before explaining why it has to be, that it's talking about a safek zachar, safek nekeva over here. Then what's the pasuk excluding? So Tosfot comes up with this category called mishuneh, something that's unusual or different. And the Torah is asking, is saying that the din only applies to what's normal. If it's not normal, if this isn't the normal course of human condition, then they're excluded, because it's misachar ad nekeva. And that type of expression means anything that's not extraordinary, not unusual. Since they are unusual, they'll be excluded from the pasuk. What Tosfot is doing is saying that it's a birya b'fnei atzma without calling it that. It's getting its own class, even though it's not its own class, because it's between the zachar nekeva and its own class, and we're going to leave it as something called mishuneh. So it gives up a new terminology to describe it without putting it into its own class, in order to have the pasuk excluded. Le'mar misayile tomtom v'androginos shra'u loven o odem. So they saw either or. Ein chayvim abiyat mikdash v'in sofim aleim et ha'truma. That's exactly what we said. Will loven ba'odim ki'achat. They see them simultaneously, these two types of discharges. Ein chayvin al-biyat mikdash, al-basurfin al-emet ha-chumah. It's exactly what he said. My time, Lav mishum shenemar mizachar v'ad nekeva tishaleichu. Zachar v'adai nekeva v'adait. V'lo tumtum ha-adrigonus. So we have a braita that says the exact same thing as Rav Nachman Amarav. It doesn't give the reason. We're saying, isn't the reason that Rav Nachman Amarav gave, and then this would be approved to him. So when it says, no, Amarula, lo. Hamani, Rabbi Eliezerhi. That braita that you just quoted is authored by Rabbi Eliezer, Ditanan, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Sheretz, Ven Elam Mimenu, Al Helem Sheretz, Uchayav, Ven Uchayav, Al Migdash. Ukib Omer, Ven Elam Mimenu, Bhutamei, Al Helem Tuma, Uchayav, Ven Uchayav, Al Helem Migdash. So Gemara and Shvot discusses the issue of Biat Migdash Ukdashav, which is one of the Karbanei Olevi Yurei, which is someone who is Tamei, who enters into the Migdash, unbeknownst. The question is, what is unbeknownst to them? Is it unbeknownst to them that this is the Migdash? Or is it unbeknownst to them that they were Tamei? They forgot they were Tamei. So that's what is discussed here. You have two Tanaim saying over here, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, both saying that what they have to forget over here is the Tumah. If they forget the Migdash, that's not classified as Biat Migdash, you don't qualify for the Korban Olevi Yurei. The only thing qualifies you is v'ne'elam mimenu, from the forgetting of the Tumah. Forgetting of Tumah is what qualifies you to bring the Korban Olev Yoreid of Biyad Mikdash Ukdashav, not the forgetting of the Mikdash. So then the Gemara asks, what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer? They both say that forgetting Tumah is what qualifies you to bring the Korban Olev Yoreid. Forgetting the Mikdash does not qualify you. So Amar Chizkiya Sheretz v'ne'vela yika b'nayu. The difference between them is the specific type of Tumah. You saw by Rabbi Eliezer's statement, V'nilam imenu, alahelem sheretzu chayav. He mentions the specific type of tumah that you had and then you forgot about. He talks about tumah generically. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer says, you gotta know what you became tameh with. You first have to become tameh, know what you came tameh, forget that tumah, and then remember it afterwards, after you've gone into the mikdash or eating kodoshim, then remember the tumah. But you have to have known that you were tameh and why you were tameh. Were you tameh because you touched the sheretz? You're tameh because you touched the neveilah. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Sabar lo ba'inan, we don't need that. You just need to know that you were tameh. What you were tameh with is not relevant. So even if you had a sheretz and neveilah sitting there, you don't know which one you touched. But you know for certain you touched one of them, and you're vaday tameh, according to Rabbi Kiva, that's enough to be mechayev you on biyat mikdash b'tashav, to be chayav a karban olev yoreh. So now the Gemara is saying that braita was authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, al helem tum'ah, you are chayav if you know why you're tameh. What's the problem here? By tumtum and androginus, even if they see both odem and loven simultaneously, we know they're tameh vaday. But we don't know which one they are tameh with. We don't know if they're tameh because they saw the loven. We don't know if they're tameh because they saw the odem. And therefore, they're not qualified or they're not chayavin in biyat mikdash u'ktashav according to Rabbi Eliezer. You don't have an elem mimenu al helem sheretz. You don't have the definition of what tumah it is. And that's what the Gemara says, that Rabbi Eliezer is the author of that bright, and it's not a proof to that position of Rav Nachman Amar Rav. So, lav amar Rabbi Eliezer hotam bin and diada ibisheretz itmei, idunavele itmei. Over there, in that case, by Helam Mikdash, then Rabbi Eliezer requires you to know whether it's a nevela or whether it's a sheretz. Hachanami, bini yada ibaloven itmei iba odem itmei. We need to know whether this person is tamei because they saw a seminal mission, or they're tamei because they were pares nida. They need to know what made you tamei. So even though you know that you are tamei, you don't know why you're tamei. And by according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's a problem. That's not enough to be mechayev if you want biyat mikdash. Biyat, the requirement of biyat mikdash is you know that you were tamei and how you were tamei. I mean, that what type of tumah that you are actually carrying around now. And Rabbi Eliezer will be the author of that braita. Aval, the Rabbi Kiva, damar mishum tumah mechayev, hachanami mishum tumah mechayev. According to Rabbi Kiva, in hachanami, you would be chayev biyat mikdash b'tashah. Because Rabbi Kiva says, I just need to know that you were tamei. I don't need to know whether it was from a sheretz, from a nevela, what it was. Any way you became tamei, you are considered chayav biyat mikdash b'tashav. Same thing here by tumtum and androginus. Tumtum and androginus, we know for sure you're tamei. We just don't know what. Are you tamei from a seminal mission? Are you tamei because of the pores nida? But either way, you're tamei. And according to Rabbi Kiva, that's sufficient to make you chayav biyat mikdash b'tashav. The point that he's making here is that this breita, even though it has the same din as Rav Nachman and Rav, it's not necessarily a proof that the drush that Rav Nachman Amar Rav uses as the source for that position. Because the reason could be that it's authored by Rabbi Eliezer and not because it was not a zachar, not a nekeva. So Rav, Maishnam, Biyat Mikdash Delo. So Rav, what's the reason by Mikdash that we say that you're not chayavin? The drush is, dichtei mi zachar ben nekeva tishaleichu. Right, we saw that before, Amar Nachman Amar Rav, that's the reason for Rav. Zachar vadai, nekeva vadeit, velo tumtum vanjoginus. So that's the drush of Rav. Iyachi, Truma nami lo nisrof. Why don't we say the same thing by truma? Because it says va'zavet zovol zachar nekeva. Because by tumat ziva and tumat of the flowing things meaning both shechvat zera and nida, there it also says le zachar nekeva. Zachar vadei nekeva vadeit. Let us say lo tumtum androginus. Let's say that tumat ziva does not apply to a tumtum and androginus, that they can never become tamei in those items with those discharges because they're not a zachar and they're not a nekeva. So instead of eliminating from the side of biyat mikdash u'ktoshav, let's eliminate them from the side of the tumah. Because by the tumah itself, it's also written mizachar ad nekeva. If that's the case, then even by tumah, they should not be chayvin, or we should not be soreif tumah based on that. So the Gemara says, how we violate the Rabbi Yitzchok? We need that pasuk by tumah for the drush of Rabbi Yitzchok. Dam Rabbi Yitzchok, mizachar rabot et hamitzora lemayenotav or nekeva rabot et hamitzoraat lemayenoyoteha. So Rabbi Yitzchak tells us there's a drush of Mitzachar Nekeva, the Zachar Nekeva comes to make a hekesh or a quasi gzer shava to Mitzorah. We know by a Zav and a Zava that any liquid emission from their body has a classification of an Avatumah, and it'll be Mitamei items. How do we know that that's true by a Mitzorah and a Mitzorat as well? That means that their spittle, their urine,
any other discharge from the body would also have that classification like them and make it into an avatuma. It's not written by a mitzora mitzorat. It's written by a zav and a zavah. That's written there. So the Rabbi Yitzchak's drush is that zachar nekeva comes to teach us or equate it to mitzora mitzorat and to say just like by zav and zavah, all the liquid emissions have a din of avatuma, so too by mitzora mitzorat, all their liquid emissions have their same din as them. So, hi, nami mi baile, b'mi, sheish lo torah b'mikveh, prat l'ki cheres, divi Rabbi Yossi. Also over here, by biat mikdash, the one in Mambidar, hey, that says, mizachar v'ad nekivat tishaleichu, we need that for another drasha. What's that drasha? Mi, sheish lo torah b'mikveh, who is precluded from going into the mikdash when they are tmeim? That is someone who can get tara through the mikveh. Prat l'ki cheres. It comes to exclude an earthenware utensil that doesn't have tara b'mikveh, therefore is not under the restriction of biat mikdash when it's tamei. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So now we have a drasha for that pasuk as well. If that's the case, then we also shouldn't be able to darshan out that we exclude tum tumen anjigunus. Where it says, im kein ichtob rachman adam. For the drasha of Rabbi Yossi, we don't need zachar nekeva. Just have to be a human being. By the drasha, by zav and zavat and mitzorah mitzorat, we need the terminology zachar nekeva, because that's what the drasha is premised on. Over here, the drasha is not premised on zachar nekeva, it's premised on human being. Human being that can attain tara. So you could use the replacement word adam. If it had written adam, I would have thought, oh, only human beings have this requirement. But metallic kelim, they don't have to be sent out of the mikdash because they're not an adam. Now, the klima techot here doesn't mean literally just metallic kelim. It means any keli besides a kli cheres. We already know that kli cheres doesn't have this requirement. If I'd written adam, I would think any other kli that's not a kli cheres also would not have a requirement of being sent out of the mikdash because it's not an adam. Adam velo kelim. That's what you would have made the drasha. If you just had the word adam, you would have made the drasha. It means human being, not kelim. You wouldn't have made the drasha of anything that is tara b'mikveh. So that's why we need zachar nekeva to teach us, don't just think it's adam v'lo kelim. That the Gemara says, lo, mikol tamei lenefesh nafko. No, there we learn that from the pasuk, it says mikol tamei lenefesh. Anything that is tamei, period, is required to be sent out. So I would not have had that havamina. Zachar nekeva lomali. So again, what do I need the zachar nekeva? Look at the Rav. That's what we need. We need it for the drasha of Rav to teach us that we exclude no tum tum and androgynous. But say it's only for the drasha of Rav, and we won't have the drasha of Rabbi Yossi at all. So the ad is coming to be a reboy that not only are we saying over here the zachar nekeva comes to zachar vadeit and nekeva vadeit, but ad. The word ad means ad kol davar sheyesh lo tarah b'mikveh. It's an inclusion of anything that has tarah through the mikveh. We have here now a number of drashot that come out of the pasuk. We would add a havamina. He should have just written the word adam in the pasuk, and Eru told us that adam is sent out, not kelim. But that's not the conclusion we want. So therefore we have a riboy that says mikol hashem tamei lenefesh. Anything that's tamei has to be sent out, and that would include even kelim. Everything, including kli cheres, including everything, would have been included by that. And then I move to mizachar ad nekeva. I have zachar nekeva instead of adam. That allows me to make a drasha beyond zachar nekeva comes to tell me zachar vadai and nekeva vadait that they are the ones that have to be sent out. Tumton and jugunos do not have to be sent out. But then we also have an additional drasha, like you're saying of Rabbi Yossi, that says, well, you could have just written mizachar ad nekeva. What's mizachar ad nekeva? That ad comes to teach us that ad to say only things that have tara for mikveh have to be sent out, not kli cheres, which doesn't have tara b'mikveh. So that's how we get all the drushot in terms of the extraneous terminology that's used over here.
The similarity to adam, which is to the mikveh, and therefore excluding kli cheres. Why wouldn't that be enough?
Tosfot asks you a question. Ad kol davar sheyesh lo tara, he says, Melashon ad darish, kepeir shakunchish. Demash kol mi sheyesh lo din, shemizachar nekeva, dainu sheyesh lo tara b'mikveh. Im tomar, once you've done that, kol tamei lenefesh, im kein lamayato. They're asking the question the opposite way of what you're asking. You're asking, well, once you have tamei lenefesh, what do I need adam? Or, once you have adam, what do I need mikol So that Tosfot says, you have to say that they have the brei sheyesh lo dvarim b'sachim darish leshapio. They have another drasha for it. So they have another drasha for that word. But you're right, in Ochanami, that you're creating more extraneous terms here once you move along. Okay, the Gemara says, Iochi b'shar tumod nami. Once you've doresh mizachar v'adakeva, mi sheyesh lo tar b'mikveh, im kein. Over here, Rav Nachman Amarav made their statement about a tumtum and androgynous who had a sighting of white and red together simultaneously. And therefore, there are tamei, tumat, either nida or shichvat zera. Why didn't Rav and Rav Nachman's statement make a more broader statement, which is Tumat Meit, Sheretz, any Tumat that applies to Androgynous and Tumtum should be excluded from Biryat Mikdash, because over here in the Pasuk, but it says Mizachar Nekeva, it's not just talking about Tumat Hayotzei Migufam. There it's talking about Tumat Sheretz, Tumat Nevela, Tumat Meit, all of them. That means that a Tumtum and Androgynous, no matter what Tumat they come into contact with, they should not have to leave the Mikdash. Why are you limiting it? Why is their statement limited to the case of Loven and Odem? It should be a much more broad statement that Yochekit may be shartumot loli shalchu. They should not be sent out. So Amakara mizachar mituma poreshet min azachar. So the Gemara says that mizachar. We also have another drasha, which is that it has to be tuma hayotzei migufan, something that is a product of the zachar and a product of the nekeva, which is tuma hayotzei migufam, and therefore this exclusion of zachar nekeva, not tumtum and androgynous, only applies to tumot that are a result of being a zachar or a result of being a nekeva. Now the Gemara asks the question. We saw this in Arachin as well. Is that really true? Is that really true that anywhere in the Torah where you say mizachar and nekeva or mizachar and nekeva, that comes to exclude tumtum and androgynous? So here they learn it out. That's what the Rashi pointed out from the hay. From the hay, they're learning out that it's a miut of hazachar and not tumtum and androgynous. And over there they learn out from ve'im. So ve'im, to come those two extraneous, the hay that's extraneous, and the im that is extraneous, we exclude tumto androgynous. Zachar v'adai, nekeva v'adai, t'vlo tumto androgynous. Time adichtiv ha-zachar, ve'im nekeva. We needed those extraneous letter hay and extraneous word ve'im in order to make that drasha. Ha, mizachar v'nekeva by itself. It just said mizachar nekeva, then lo memayit. We wouldn't exclude tumto androgynous. Over here, by Biyad Mikdash Uchtashav, you're saying mizachar nekeva, that's sufficient. Takes good at tumtum and androgynous. By Arachin, the Gemara needs more than zachar nekeva. It needs hazachar ve'im nekeva. So why do I need extra? From the word zachar nekeva by itself should have been sufficient to exclude androgynous and tumtum. So the Gemara says, how mi baile lechalek ben erchish le'erchisha. Because we have another limud, like we said by Zov and Zava, we have another limud. Mizachar and the keva there, we need to learn that there's a difference in arachin between a man and a male and a female. You have to distinguish between them. So without the hey, hayidiyah, and the vi'im, we wouldn't have the room to make the drasha, because we already have another drasha that we're using it for. We're using the drasha to teach us that there's a distinction between zachar and the keva, that they have different dinim in terms of arachin. Whereas, when we want to come to exclude tumto androgynous, then we need something beyond that, something more extraneous. That's why we need the hay and the im. But by our case, where we don't have an alternative drasha for the zachar and nekeva, zachar and nekeva by themselves is sufficient to eliminate tumtum and androgynous. Tosfot over here speaks about other cases and how we deal throughout Shas with this idea of tumtum and androgynous, zachar and nekeva. What is the default assumption of the Gemara? Is the default assumption that tumto and androgynous are included and you need a miyu to exclude them? Or is the default that they're excluded and you need a riboy to include them? Those are what comes to the conclusion that originally the Gemara would have had a assumption the default would have been to include them. And we have a miyu by arachin. Once we have the miyu by arachin that tells us they're excluded, it changes the default. And the default becomes that they're excluded unless I have a riboy from the puzzle to include them. And that's why, for instance, by Mila, Brit Mila and other things, they are included, or Tumat Leida, they are included. We have to have a special riboy to include them, because I would have thought the default status is that they're excluded after we have the limud by Arachin. So Tosfot is playing around a little bit about, you see the Gemara in some places having a riboy to include androgynous and tumtum, some places excluding it, and that's what he's working with to assume what is the default, and did the default change once we've had the limud by Arachin. Okay, we'll stop over here.